Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think it's attributed to Albert Einstein. He said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. I wonder what Albert Einstein would have thought of Jesus' parable today. Because in the parable today, Jesus tells it, he tells us that there is an owner of a vineyard. And he sends servant after servant after servant to collect some of the fruit from the vineyard. And yet what happens to each servant? But he's not only treated the same as the servant before him, but in each successive servant who is sent, he is treated more harshly than the last. The first servant comes looking for the fruit, and what happens? But he is beaten, and then he is sent away. The second servant comes. He is beaten as well, that's true, but he is also treated shamefully before being sent away. The third servant then receives a wound, and then he is sent away. Oh, my apologies. He's not just sent away. He's cast out. Right? He receives his wound, and then he is literally thrown out of the vineyard. And finally, the vineyard owner sends his son. In an attempt to give one last chance to the tenants, he sends the thing that is most precious to him. And the son is treated worst of all. They not only throw him out of the vineyard, but then they kill him. And in some twisted way, these tenants perceive that they are going to receive a reward, the inheritance. I don't understand how that mentality works. Well, if I kill my boss's son, then my boss will give me his property. It doesn't make any sense. But instead, the tenants are judged, destroyed, and replaced. One of the most surprising things about this parable, though, is not in the parable itself. In this reading, we hear about how the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, how they respond to the parable. The parable concludes, and they say, "Surely not." The response betrays their lack of faith. The response betrays the fact that they do not believe Jesus is the Savior. They were right to understand the parable was against them. In fact, by responding with the words, "surely not," they're actually fulfilling the parable in their rejection of the Son. And yet, even more fully, how will they fulfill the parable? But just a few days after Jesus preaches this, they hang him on a cross outside of Jerusalem. Surely not? Well, that's what Jesus' opponents answered, but our response is exactly the opposite. Surely so. Surely these words that Jesus spoke through the parable are true. In fact, we can see the Old Testament application. What did Jesus do, or what did God, the Trinity, send throughout the Old Testament? It was to the nation of Israel. Prophet after prophet after prophet came into God's vineyard to his people to bring them to repentance. And yet, how did the nation of Israel treat God's prophets? You might remember. Jeremiah, specifically, was beaten and then put in stocks. Elijah was forced to flee for his life. Joseph, who had prophetic dreams, was treated shamefully by his own family. And if you've been in midweek services recently, you know all about Moses. How the people constantly grumbled against Moses too. Surely so. We can see the application of this parable in Jesus' day as well, right? Jesus, as we mentioned, is going to be beaten. He is going to be mocked. He is going to be whipped to an inch of his life, and then he is going to carry his own cross to a mountain called Golgotha, where he will be killed. Treated shamefully first, of course. Naked and bloody from the cross. What did the people do? Why did the Pharisees put this whole thing together? Because they thought they were going to receive an inheritance. We've been the leaders of the Israelite people. We've been the leaders of the Jews. This guy's getting in the way. You know how we keep our position as leaders? We just got to get rid of him. They were surely wrong. Justice would be served. Jesus himself says that the stone will then crush those tenants. And if we know any history, in the year AD 70, Jerusalem is destroyed, laid siege, so much so that Jesus says not one stone remained on top of another. You can be certain as those buildings crumbled in, they crushed all of the people residing inside. Not one stone left upon another. The entire city broken to pieces. The Pharisees would have done well to remember that when God speaks, his words always come true. But it's not just an Old Testament parable. It's not just a parable for Jesus' time. Of course, it's a parable for you. We live in a culture much like the culture of Jesus. The world is a place that is hostile to Christianity. In fact, there are ever more people who leave behind Christian truths, departing from the Christian church, living in the love of happiness, living in the love of entertainment, rather than their love for God or their love for neighbor. We live in a world where to actually speak the truth faithfully means you're going to be treated poorly, unfairly, disregarded, thought as someone maybe who is unintelligent or unreliable. In the end, it's called persecution. That's what Christians can expect in the world. When you are a voice for Christian truth, you will be persecuted. And in some places in the world, they're persecuted to the point of death. And yet, when the servants of God, bearing his message, when they come, what happens? Well, we see the chief priests and the elders in the world. They answer, surely not. You're going to tell me that if I am not a Christian, if I don't believe in a Savior who has died for me, it means I'm going to hell? Well, I'm a pretty good person. Surely that's not true. Surely God won't execute justice on me. No, actually, I've been really enjoying my life. You know, things are going really well. I've been having a lot of fun lately. And you're saying my fun is sin? Surely not. I'm not hurting anybody but myself, maybe. The truth is that the world is perfect at answering, surely not. And the world will continue to answer with, surely not. In fact, have you ever actually shared some Christian truth with somebody? Maybe somebody who is less than receptive? Did they welcome your message with open arms? Or did they say, surely not? We could delve into the sins of our day, but we won't this morning. The truth is that we see it all over the media, we see it all over our world, that Christian truths are not tolerated, not any longer. But thanks be to God. Why? Because he has led you to the truth. He has led you out of false belief. He has led you by his law and his spirit. He has led you to reject the world, to reject the surely nots, and to say about God's promises that yes, this is surely so. Thanks be to God that he gives you faith. Thanks be to God that he leads you to live God-pleasing lives. Thanks be to God that you have remorse over your sin instead of trying to justify yourself. Thanks be to God that he has given you faith that recognizes his mercy and his forgiveness that he has poured out for you through his Son, Jesus. And thanks be to God that that judgment that is coming to all the tenants, to all those who reject God's word, my friends, it's surely not for you. God's judgment is left for those who reject his promises. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, God wasn't insane when he sent servant after servant after servant. He wasn't insane when he sent his son. He did it intentionally. He sent Jesus because he knew that that was the only way that he would actually receive the vineyard back for himself. It was the only way he could take the vineyard from those tenants and take his people back. It was by his son dying, shedding his blood, breathing his last, atoning for your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world. But could you imagine for a minute if the parable went on? Just one more part. Jesus tells the parable right before his death, but could you imagine if the parable went beyond Jesus' death? What would the tenants do if they saw the son come back to life? The truth is that they still wouldn't obey him. They still wouldn't give him the fruit that they asked that he had asked for. But you know what does happen to them? The son does come back to life and he seizes the vineyard for himself. He kicks out those tenants. He takes ownership of the vineyards that he might take care of it, so that he might nurture it, and so that it might bear fruit. It is surely so, because I'm standing in the vineyard right now. You are God's vineyard. He has planted you into the faith. He has planted you into the church. He nurtures you through the preached word. He feeds you with his very body and blood to strengthen your faith and to forgive all of your sins. He waters you in baptism. He cares for you. He protects you. He provides for you. He does everything for you so that you can live in his promises. Promises of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. My friends, God is looking for fruit. And so long as you live in the promises of Jesus Christ, he will come seeking and he will find it, both now and into all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.